Today we want to look at when life makes no sense. About 3,100 or 3,200 years ago, a severe famine struck Israel. Vegetation died, animals began dying. There was a man named Elimelech in Israel who had an idea to help his family. He decided to take his family to a neighboring country where I assume he heard there was rain and vegetation and crops. So he took his family, his wife and his two sons, to Moab. They left Israel, moved to Moab, and everything seemed to be going well. But then the scripture says that Elimelech died. Doesn't tell us why, but it just merely mentions that Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech. Well, things are still going well for Naomi in this foreign country. She had two sons who by this time were grown and had married. And then the scripture says, after 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion also died. No reason for their death, but they just passed away. So here was Naomi, a Jewish woman, living in a foreign country without her husband and her two sons. No support. There was no Social Security. There was no welfare program. She was basically destitute. She had two young daughters-in-law. And Naomi tried making sense of life. Notice what she did. Naomi is like all the rest of us. We try to make sense of suffering, of disappointment, of struggles. Well, here's the way she did it. Let's read Ruth, please. Chapter 1, verse 13, then 20 and 21.
Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.
Do you hear that? The last part of that verse, she was talking to her daughters-in-law and saying, hey, your husbands are dead. Would you wait for a new husband if I can have children? And then the last phrase of the verse. Listen to what she said.
Because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.
The Lord's hand has gone out against me. She was trying to make sense of life. And the only way she could explain life was that God was against her. Now look at verse number 21. Here we see Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth return from Moab to Bethlehem. And as the people come out to greet her, oh, they hadn't seen Naomi in years. They were delighted. They were overjoyed. And they begin welcoming her enthusiastically. But look at what happened.
Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.
They were welcoming Naomi, which in Hebrew means sweet. But she said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me sweet. Call me Mara, which is Hebrew for bitter. For the Lord's hand has gone out against me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. 5 times she accuses the Lord of this or that. She was trying to make sense of life. And not all of us blame God for this or that or struggles, but we all are trying to make sense of life when it seems so senseless. So what we want to do now is look at Sister Naomi and the Lord and see how we deal with life when it makes no sense. The first thing we want to do is trust God's patience with our emotions. When life is treated as roughly, treated as badly, and we're trying to figure it out, but it can't be figured out, we want to trust God's patience with our emotions. You see, whenever we attempt to find explanations for life, for life's difficulties, this attempt to find explanations places great emotional strain upon us. There's a couple of verses in Psalms which are really good psychology. Listen to Dee as she reads Psalm 73, verse number 16.
When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me.
The psalmist said, I was trying to understand why the righteous struggle and the unrighteous flourish. And he said this attempt to explain life was oppressive. We do ourselves a great deal of harm by trying to explain life's struggles, disappointments. And so Sister Naomi, she was putting herself under great emotional strain as she was saying, God took me away, but He brought me back empty. The Lord's hand has gone out against me. The Lord brought misfortune upon me. Look at Psalm 139, verse number 6.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Here the psalmist admitted, there are some things I can't understand. He said, such knowledge is too lofty for me. It's over my head. But we don't want to accept life. We don't want to accept it. We want to figure it out. We want to explain it. But it can't be explained so often. And that's where Sister Naomi was. So you know what God did? While Naomi was accusing him, God disregarded her accusations and just kept loving her. In fact, I was reading in the New Testament, and I read some of the words of Jesus just a few hours before he was arrested, tortured, and crucified. He was meeting with the apostles, and he said to them, "You will all leave me." He knew they were going to forsake him. "You will all leave me, but I will never be alone, for my Father is with me." Notice the confidence in his voice. "I will never be alone, for Father is with me." But when he was hanging on that cross, sapped of all emotional and physical energy, drained of every ounce of resistance to difficulty, notice what he said now. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 46, a well-known verse, it says,
"About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'"
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, this same Jesus, who earlier said, "My Father will never leave me," he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" You see, he was emotionally drained. And he felt some doubt. He felt very, very alone. And yet, what did Father do? He stuck with Jesus. He continued standing there at Jesus' side, strengthening him for this difficult time in his life. You see, God surrounds us with His love. Psalm 32:10, the last part of it simply says, "The Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in Him." So God's unfailing love was surrounding Naomi, clothing Naomi whenever she was saying, "God's against me. God's caused misfortune to come upon me." He understood that she was just trying to make sense of life. So God, your God is with you. Even when you feel badly about Him, about yourself, about others. In fact, I want you to listen to this beautiful verse from Isaiah, and then I'm going to use my imagination. Let's look at Isaiah 30, verse number 18.
"Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him."
As Naomi and Ruth were being greeted by all the citizens of Bethlehem, as the people were shouting, here comes Naomi, here comes sweet. And Naomi responded by saying, "Don't call me sweet, call me bitter." As she was accusing the Lord of this and that, I think Isaiah 30, verse 18 shows us what God did. This verse says, "The Lord longs to show you compassion." And then it says, "He rises to show you compassion." I think in my imagination that the Lord stood up that day and said, "I sure love Naomi. I have great plans for her. She's my special daughter, and I'm going to use her and Ruth in ways that nobody ever dreamed possible." You see, God patiently allows time for healing of our emotions. So if you've lost a husband, a child, if you had lost a friend, if you've gone through church difficulties, if you've been through a job loss, and some days you feel like a basket case, you feel like you're emotionally going to fall apart, God sticks with you. He will allow time for healing. And so that's what happened to Sister Naomi as time passed on. Well, we want to trust God's patience with our emotions. But secondly, in order to deal with life when it makes no sense, we want to give up our search for sensible explanations to life. You see, that's what Naomi was doing. See, she was searching for explanations to her husband's death and her two sons' death. She was looking for explanations that fit into her limited understanding. But nothing fit into her mind. She just couldn't find answers. The only answer that made any sense to her was that God was at fault, that God was against her, that God brought misfortune into her life. But you know, as she was searching for explanations that fit into her mind, a creator of unlimited understanding controlled her life. A creator of unlimited understanding controlled her life. Let's look at these pictures of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, here the Bible says,
"Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom."
Look at the last part of the verse. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding, his intellect, his genius cannot be comprehended, because it is like him, it is infinite. So here was Sister Naomi trying to find explanations to life's unfairness. Instead of walking away from her, a creator of unlimited understanding was directing her and Ruth. Let's read another picture of God, another word picture of our God. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse number 5.
"Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit."
His understanding has no limit. So quit trying to match wits with an infinite genius like God. All we need to know is that God surrounds us with his unfailing love. That's enough. Anything more than that, forget. Just keep your eyes on God, keep your heart in his love, and he will bring you through. Admit the futility of your search for sensible explanations. Rest in God's understanding. Rest in God's control of your life when your life appears out of control. Rest in God's control of your circumstances when it appears that mean people control your circumstances. Rest in God's control of your life, because he knows what he's doing. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 24. It asks a question and then makes a comment. Here it says,
"A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way?"
It starts with a statement. A man's steps. Or you could put your name in there. James's steps. Ruth's steps. John's steps are directed by the Lord. You could put a period there, and that would be a complete statement. That would be great assurance. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And then it asks a question. How then can anyone understand their own way? The question means that if God, the infinite one, is directing your steps, you are not always going to understand or comprehend what's going on in your life. Just face the fact. A loving, infinite genius plan your life. He's directing your steps. So it says, how then can you understand? Well, you can't admit the futility of your search for sensible explanations and go on with your life, because God's directing your steps. Listen to Brother Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 23.
I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps.
Our life is not our own. Your life doesn't belong to you. Your life belongs to God. And then Jeremiah said, it is not for us to direct our steps. Yes, we make plans, but sometimes plans fall apart. Sometimes we have dreams, and sometimes dreams never come to pass. But this verse tells you, hey, God owns you. He takes you as His property, and He is most definitely directing your steps. So Sister Naomi, gradually as time passed, she quit trying to figure life out. She quit trying to make it fit into her brain and just started trusting God. She found emotional rest in the Lord. So, we want to trust God with our emotions. We want to give up our search for sensible explanations. And now, we want to believe that God is working in our behalf. When life makes no sense, trust God with your emotions. Trust His patience with your emotions. When life makes no sense, give up your search for accessible explanations. When life makes no sense, God is working in your behalf. Naomi basically said to the people in Bethlehem, God has forsaken me. That was reasonable to her mind. After all, she had moved to Moab with her family. There, her husband passed away. Her two grown sons passed away. And so it was perfectly logical in Naomi's mind. God has brought misfortune upon me. The Almighty has took me away from Israel full, empty, but now He's brought me back full. Well, that was her reason, but she began to rest in God's reason, in His intellect. And God was working in Naomi's behalf. But not just Naomi. He was working in Ruth's behalf, her young daughter-in-law. But more than that, God was working in our behalf. You see, God promises victory to the disappointed. One of my favorite verses, in fact, whenever we had to leave the mission field, even though we didn't want to, we had to leave because of my health. It was a real struggle when we moved back to the USA. In fact, for about 2 years, I struggled with this unwanted return to a ministry in America. But God sustained me with a verse. In fact, the last part of a very long verse in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23. Here it says, the last part of the verse, I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. I felt so disappointed. And I'm sure Sister Naomi, I just can't imagine the disappointment she entertained. And yet the verse says, I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. It's true, brother, sister. Your dreams may be shattered. Your plans may have crumbled. But if you will trust the Lord, who will make sense of life. He will make sense of your life. He will make sense of your tragedies. He will make sense of your struggles. He will make sense of your disappointments. If you will keep trusting Him and believe that His unfailing love surrounds you, eventually you will see God bring victory to you. So remember that verse, Isaiah 49, 23 from the NIV. I am the Lord. Those who hope in me would not be disappointed. But now, let's let D read for us another verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 64, verse number 4.
Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him.
Look at the last part of the verse. It says, God acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. God is not inactive when we are waiting. When you go to the job every morning, when you take those kids to school, when you buy those groceries, whenever you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, the Bible says God acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. Isaiah 64, verse number 4. So you see, when Naomi and Ruth left the land of Moab and began their trek back to Bethlehem, God was at work. God was at work for Naomi, for Ruth, but He was more than that. He was at work for His eternal plan of salvation for mankind. You see, God was in the process of placing His people at the right place at the right time. For some reason, God knew this little girl in Moab named Ruth. He knew this girl. She was not Jewish. She should have never been a part of the human ancestry of Jesus Christ. Her family worshipped idols. No doubt she grew up worshipping idols. She knew nothing about an invisible God, creator of heaven and earth. And yet the sovereign God, the God of infinite understanding, chose this young lady to be part of Jesus' human ancestry. The famine came. Elimelech decided to take his family to Moab. There, a Jewish young man married a Moabite young lady named Ruth. All three of those men in Naomi's family died. And now, Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem. God was putting this young girl, this Moabitess girl, at the right place at the right time. Read with me, please, now. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 3.
So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech.
Here it says that they returned to Israel at just the right time. Just the right time. Barley harvest was beginning. And a man named Boaz, a wealthy farmer, was harvesting his crops. Just as Ruth and Naomi returned, Ruth and Naomi were penniless. So Naomi suggested, "Ruth, why don't you go out and gather grain, the grain that the harvesters leave behind?" And the Bible says that Ruth went out into the fields and just randomly selected a field and began gathering the grain that was left on the ground. But the Bible specifically points out that she just happened on the field that belonged to Boaz. Boaz noticed her. And Boaz and Ruth began falling in love. Eventually married. And their first child was the great-grandfather of David. You see, God put her into the human ancestry of Jesus. So in a sense, every one of us are indebted to Ruth and to Naomi. For Jesus. Jesus came through that family line. And we have a Savior because God took life's senselessness and transformed it into sensibleness. So, brother, sister, that's the God. This is a picture of God working in your life. He will take all of life's senselessness and transform it into divine sensibleness. As we trust Him without emotions. Whenever you feel like God's ready to get rid of you, tell yourself, that's not His nature. That's not His way. He's going to stick with me through these tough times. Yes, I'm emotionally disturbed. I'm emotionally strapped. I'm struggling, but God is with me through my worst times. God wants you just to give up your search for sensible explanations. Turn life's senselessness over to Him and say, God, I can't figure it out, but I can trust in You. And then your God will do something for you bigger and better than you ever dreamed possible. Why don't we go to the Lord Jesus in prayer now? Let's go to the Lord Jesus and let's ask Him for help. Let's ask Him for peace of mind when life makes no sense. Dearest Jesus, we love You so much. We cannot tell You how much we love You and appreciate You. Father, we ask that by Your precious Son and by the Holy Spirit's presence, You would bring peace to every one of us. God, bring a peace of mind and a peace in our emotions in spite of the way life's treated us, in spite of the way people have treated us, in spite of our own shortcomings and failures. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us rest in You when life makes no sense. In the name of Jesus, we love You and praise You for the victory that is ours. Amen.